A very good morning to one and all, and I bring greetings to you, and thank you for your prayers for me, and thank God that we can once again come together for worship, and also to hear and receive the Word of God. Please turn your Bible back to James chapter 2. And this morning, we will be looking at verses 14 to 26. The subject before us is barren faith, or dead faith, or faith that is not genuine. Just as money can be genuine or counterfeit, so too faith can be the real thing or just an imitation of the real thing. Therefore, true faith and works as fruit and evidence of faith are naturally associated together. And this doctrine or this teaching of faith, not only faith, but faith by works, this doctrine has been of trouble to many people. And one of them is the German reformer Martin Luther, who has great difficulty in the understanding of this subject of what is true faith. Faith is a key doctrine in the Christian life. The believer is saved by faith, according to Ephesians 2:8-9. And the believer must also walk by faith. This is the teaching of Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, as the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:6 tells us. And whatever believers do apart from faith is sin. And this teaching is also found in the book of Romans 14:23. Someone has said that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. I repeat, someone has said that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. When you read Hebrews 11, you meet men and women who acted on God's word, no matter what price they had to pay. Faith is not some kind of fuzzy or foggy feeling that we work up. Faith is confidence that God's word is true and conviction that acting on that word will bring God's blessing. James here deals with the questions, what kind of faith really saves a sinner? What kind of faith really saves a sinner? Is it necessary to perform good works in order to be saved? How can a person tell whether or not he or she is exercising true saving faith? James shows us in this section that there are three kinds of faith, only one of which is true saving faith as revealed in the scripture. The first kind of faith James shows us is this, dead faith. This is from 14 to 17. Dead faith. Even in the early church, there are those who claim that they had saving faith, yet did not possess salvation. Wherever there is the true, you will find the counterfeit. Jesus warned, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. People with barren faith substitute words for deeds. They know the correct vocabulary for prayer and testimony. They are able to give textbook answers from the Bible that are theologically and biblically sound and can even quote the right verses from the Bible. However, their walk or how they live their life as Christians does not measure up to their talk. James gave a simple illustration. A poor believer came into a fellowship without proper clothing and in need of food. The person with barren faith noticed the visitor and saw his needs or her needs, but he did not do anything to meet the needs. All he did was say a few pious words, "Depart in peace, be ye warm and filled." But the visitor went away just as hungry and naked as he came in. Food and clothing are basic needs of every human being, whether he or she is saved or unsaved. As believers, we ought to have a concern for the needy and to help to meet the needs of the people, no matter who they may be. The Bible teaches believers in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our Lord Jesus likewise teaches us, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. To help a person in need is an expression of love, and faith works by love, according to Galatians 5:6. The Apostle John emphasized this aspect of good works. But whoso have this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:17-18. The question in James chapter 2 verse 14 should read, can that kind of faith save him? What kind? What kind of faith? Answer, the kind of faith that does not result in a change or changing life by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and does not result in good works is barren and counterfeit faith. James answered his own question in verse 17. Even so, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. The great French theologian John Calvin wrote, I quote, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. I repeat, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. Unquote. The word alone in James 2:17 simply means by itself. True saving and living faith can never be by itself. It always brings life, and that life produces good works to the praise and glory of God. The person with that faith has only an intellectual experience. In his mind or her mind, he or she knows the doctrines of salvation, but has never submitted and surrendered himself to God and trusted in Christ for salvation. True faith in Christ brings life. John 3:16. And where there is life, there must be growth and there must be fruit. Three times in this paragraph, James warns us that faith without works is dead. James 2:17. 20 and 26, three times in this paragraph James warns us. Therefore, be aware of a mere intellectual faith. No true repentant sinner can come to Christ by faith and remain the same way any more than he can come into contact with a 230-watt fire and remain the same. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. Barren faith is not saving faith. It is counterfeit faith and lures the person into a false confidence of eternal life. The second kind of faith James uncovered is demonic faith. James 2 verse 18 to 19. Demonic faith. This is my second heading. James wanted to shock the complacent readers, so he used Satan or demons as his illustration. It must come as a shock to people that demons have faith. Are you surprised too? What do the devils believe? For one thing, they believe in the existence of God. They are neither atheists or agnostics. They also believe in the deity of Christ. Whenever they met Christ, when he was on earth during his earthly ministry, the devils bore witness to his sonship. You read this in Mark 3, verses 11 to 12. Satan also believed in the existence of a place of punishment called hell. Where do we find this? Luke 8:31. And they also recognized Christ Jesus as the judge. Mark 5, verse 1 to 13. And finally, they submit to the power of his word. James knew that the pious Jews believed that there is one God. These Jews were daily make the affirmation of their faith by chanting this verse. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Ahad, which means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4. And James knows that these pious Jews would daily make this affirmation of their faith by chanting this word. And James said, you believe that there is one God? Good for you. The demons also believe and tremble. James 2 verse 19. The man with dead faith was touched only in his or her intellect. But the demons are touched also in their emotions. They believe and tremble. But it is not a saving experience to believe and tremble. A person can be enlightened in his or her mind and even stirred in his heart or her heart and be lost for all eternity. True saving faith involves something more. Something that can be seen and recognized. And what is that? A changed life or a changing life by the power of the Holy Spirit. James put forth a challenge to those who are professors. He says, show me thy faith without works, challenged James, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Verse 18. Can a dead sinner perform good works? Impossible. When you trust Christ, you are what? We are told, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Being a Christian involves trusting Christ and living for Christ. You receive the life, then you reveal the life. Faith that is barren is not saving faith. The Greek word translated dead in James 2:20 carries the meaning of barren or idle, like money drawing no interest. And that is where I also get the title of my sermon. James has introduced us to two kinds of faith that can never save the sinner. One, the dead faith, which meaning to say the intellect alone. Demonic faith, the intellect and the emotion. He closes this section by describing the only kind of faith that can save a sinner. And that is dynamic faith. This is my third heading, dynamic faith, from verses 20 to 26. So there you have it. Three D's for your easy memorization. Dead faith, demonic faith, dynamic faith. The third kind of faith that is real, and I must emphasize, not only real, alive, dynamic or vibrant faith that has power. Faith that results in a changed life, changing more and more into Christ's likeness by the works of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. James described this true saving faith. To begin with, dynamic saving faith is based on the Word of God. I repeat, dynamic faith is based on the Word of God. Biblical saving faith is not leaping into the dark, which you have often heard people say, and that is wrong theology. Believers receive their spiritual rebirth through God's Word, James 1 verse 18. We receive the Word and this saves us, James 1 21. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by music? No. Happy clappy worship? No. Hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. Faith is only as good as its object. The man who bows before an idol of stone and trusts it to help him, but he receives no help. No matter how much faith a person may generate, if it is not directed at the right object, it will accomplish nothing. You may sincerely declare, I believe, but the big question is, in whom do you believe? In whom do you believe? What do you believe? We are not saved by faith in faith. We are saved by faith in Christ, as revealed in His Word. Dynamic faith is based on God's Word, not thin air. Not like what my former employer used to tell me. How do we decide the price to put in for our tender for this project? Put your finger in your mouth and then wet your finger and raise it up in the air and feel where the air is? No. Faith is based on God's Word. It involves the whole man. It involves our will, which means the heart. The whole person plays a part in true saving faith. The mind understands the faith, the heart desires the truth, and the will acts upon the truth. The men and women of faith named in Hebrews chapter 11 were people of action. God spoke, they obeyed. Again, faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of consequence. True saving and dynamic faith leads to obedience, humble obedience, reverential obedience, willing, joyful obedience on the part of the will towards God. And this obedience is not an isolated event. It continues through the whole life of the believer by the work of the Holy Spirit. It leads to good works that glorifies the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. James then illustrated this doctrine in the lives of two well-known Bible persons. Abraham and Rahab. You could not find two more different persons. Abraham was a Jew. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a godly man, but Rahab was a sinful woman, a harlot, we were told. Abraham was the friend of God, while Rahab belonged to the enemies of God. What did they have in common? Both exercised saving faith in God. How was Abraham saved? You can see this or read this in Genesis chapter 15. God showed Abraham the stars and gave him a promise, his word. Remember? So shall thy seed, meaning to say his descendants, so shall thy seed be. How did Abraham respond? Genesis 15, 5-6. And he believed in the word, in the Lord, and he, referring to the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. The word counted is a legal or a financial term. It means to put into one's account. As a sinner, Abraham's spiritual bank book was empty. He was a bankrupt, but he trusted God, and God put righteousness into Abraham's account. Abraham did not work for this righteousness. He received it as a gift from God. He was declared righteous by faith. He was justified by faith. You can read this in Romans 4. Justification is an act of God whereby he declares the believer or the believing sinner righteous on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross. It is not a process. It is an act. It is not something that the sinner does. It is something God does for the sinner when he or she, by faith, trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a once-for-all event. It never changes. But, how can you tell if a person is justified by faith? If this whole event takes place between the sinner and God privately? James used another event in Abraham's life, an event that took place many years after Abraham's conversion. This event is the offering up of Isaac on the altar, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was not saved by obeying God's difficult command. His obedience proved that he already was saved. James explained in verse 22, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" There is a perfect relationship between faith and works. As someone has expressed it, Abraham was not saved by faith plus works, but by a faith that works. I repeat, Abraham was not saved by faith plus works, but by faith that works. How was Abraham justified by works when he had already been justified by faith? By faith he was justified before God and his righteousness declared. By works he was justified before men and his righteousness demonstrated. Dynamic faith obeys God and proves itself in a daily life and works. The Apostle Paul describes those Christians with their faith in this way. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Titus 1:16. Moreover, he writes, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works." Titus 3:8. The word careful means to make an effort, to strive, to maintain good works. James' second illustration is Rahab, and the background for her is found in Joshua chapter 2, which we have studied some time ago, and also in Joshua chapter 6. Rahab, a harlot, believed in what God had said, and what God was going to do. Rahab was a great example of saving faith. You read this in Hebrews 11:31. Rahab heard the word and knew that her city was condemned. This truth affected her heart and her fellow servants, so that their hearts melted within them. Joshua 2:11. But however, Rahab responded not only with her mind and her emotions, but she also responded with her will. She did something about it. She risked her own life to protect the Jewish spies, and she further risked her life by sharing the good news of deliverance with the members of her family. Rahab could have had that faith, a mere intellectual experience, or she could have demonic faith, her mind enlightened and her emotion stirred up for a little while. But she exercised dynamic faith. Her mind knew the truth, her heart was stirred by the truth, and her will acted on the truth. She proved her faith by her works. When you realize that the little amount of information or knowledge that Rahab had, then you can see how truly marvelous her faith really was. Today, we have the full revelation of God through His Word and through His Son. We live on the other side of Calvary. We have the Holy Spirit to convict and to teach us God's Word. Yet, we find so many who still refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And there are so many in our churches who fit Paul's description of professing Christians. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. 1 Titus 1:16. And we also have, we who have the 66 book of the Bible in our possession, but yet so many Christians spend so little time in the reading and meditation of God's Word. So little time in seeking the help of the Holy Spirit in the understanding of the Word of God, so that they may find help in time of need. We have the 66 books of the Bible in our possession, and we must take heed of the warning in Luke 12:48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You and I will have to stand before God and to give an account of what we do with the 66 books. Rahab's faith on account of her little knowledge of God is an indictment against the unbelieving or unbelief of sinners today. And it is also an indictment to Christians who spend so little time in the Word of God and yet complain and murmur when they are in distress and in trouble because they could not find help in the Word of God. Why? Because they spend too little time in the Word of God and have no patience to wait upon the Lord. James chapter 2 emphasizes that the mature Christian practices the truth. He or she does not merely hold to ancient doctrines. He or she practices those doctrines in his or her everyday life by the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. His faith is not the barren faith, dead faith of the intellectual, or the demonic faith of the fallen spirit. It is a dynamic, vibrant, alive faith of men like Abraham and women like Rahab. Faith that changes a life, and faith that goes on to live for Christ and for God's glory. It is important that each professing Christian examine his or her own heart and life and make sure that you possess true saving faith, dynamic faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5a, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Here are some questions you can ask yourself as you examine your heart. I suggest the following. Was there a time when I honestly realized I was a sinner and admitted this to myself and to God? Second question, was there a time when my heart stirred me to flee from the wrath to come? Have I ever seriously been alarmed over my sins? Third question, do I truly understand the gospel that Christ died for my sins and arose again? Do I understand and confess that I truly cannot save myself? Fourth question, did I sincerely repent of my sins and turn from them? Or do I secretly love sin and want to enjoy it? Fifth question, have I trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation? Do I enjoy a living relationship with Him through the Word and in the Spirit? Sixth question, has there been a change in my life? Do I maintain good works, or are my works occasional and weak? Do I seek to grow in the things of the Lord? Can others tell that I have been with the Lord Jesus? Seventh question, do I have a desire to share Christ with others, or am I ashamed of Him? Eighth question, do I enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Is worship a delight to me? Ninth question, am I ready for the Lord's return, or will I be ashamed when He comes for me? To be sure, brethren, not every Christian has the same personal experience, no doubt. There are degrees of sanctification, we do agree. But for the most part, the preceding spiritual inventory, those questions that I have suggested, can assist us in determining his or her true standing before God. May we pray like the psalmist, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May this be our daily prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Father, we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast given us Your Word of life. O Father, we confess before You how we have not turned to Thee in the seeking to know Thy will through Your Word and in desiring to do Your will. We confess once again that our hearts are cold towards Thee. O Lord, have mercy upon us. How often we fall back into all the sin and misery of this life and could not find help because we spend so little time in seeking to know You, to know Your will and to do Your will in Your Word. O Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us, such wretched sinners, undeserving sinners. Forgive us that we have not loved You and worshiped You and served You as we ought. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus, by Thy shed blood once again. Wash and sanctify us by Thy Spirit. Create in us a clean heart, a pure heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Renew our mind, our strength, and our faith, and help us, O Lord, we plead. May You, Lord, grant us the grace and the help that we need in this new week, that we may truly live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, that we may glorify Thee. O Father, help us to seek and look nowhere else, but to seek and to look unto Jesus. O Father, for the help of man is vain. O Father, we pray that You will help us and turn us to Thee in humble repentance and to seek after Thee and to live for Thee and to rest upon Your promises. O Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.